Hey guys, here is the second of the episodes we recorded on Tuesday. This one is the Liverpool preview with Mark Kastner. He joins Nathan Casey and I for the episode. So yeah, we hope you enjoy it and thanks for listening.
Encouraged, not burdened by the history that they create. They know what is expected of them. They are Manchester United.
Welcome back, listeners, to part two of today's podcast. We have switched out Pauly Questel for our friend Mark Kastner, who is a Liverpool fan. He's here to talk about Liverpool. Kind of a weird start to the season for you guys, too. Maybe not so many existential crises, more just a couple weird results. So what's the state of Liverpool, Mark?
Yeah, so Liverpool drew their first two games of the Premier League season for the first time in over a decade. And that includes Brendan Rodgers' entire reign, who I think is personally a worse manager than Jurgen Klopp, and had a worse team. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, and while they did that, they also played insanely well against two teams you expect them to beat. And the new signing, Darwin Nunez, got a red card. So I'm sure we have a lot to talk about. I'm sure you have a lot of questions, but it's been maybe the wrong kind of exciting to the start of the season when we're typically used to just kind of really boring wins starting a Premier League season. But yeah.
It's like the start of God of War 3, where instead of like, oh yeah, he's just going to take on Zeus and it'll be all be fine, it's like, yeah, nah, yeah, not right, but that's the start. And then we'll have a little bit of an uphill climb before you get back to that point.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah.
Well, I would say, because I got to catch the second half of yesterday's match, and the thing that kind of stuck out to me, and the thing that's frustrating about, you know, watching Manchester United and then coming over and watching Liverpool, is that team seemed to play better with 10 men on the pitch, and they appeared to have like two more men on the pitch than Crystal Palace did, despite being down one man. I don't know how my maths are mathing there, but there's something about watching that team, clearly, despite, you know, Sadio Mane leaving, and there's been a couple changes in the lineup, that team is still doing what you expect it to do. And once the finishing is there, they should be just as dangerous in the attack.
Yeah, I would say, so if you go through that lineup, I don't know if I like fully agree that they played better in the second half with 10 men and then in the first half, because they created almost, I mean, depending on the model you look at, they created basically two expected goals in the first half and didn't score at all. And then they scored on a very, very low XG chance in the second half when they were reduced to 10 men. But that's just kind of footballing, I suppose. But if you look at the lineup yesterday, or Monday, I don't know whenever this goes out, Nat Phillips was starting, which is the fifth or sixth choice center back, depending on your flavor, I suppose. James Milner and Harvey Elliott were starting in midfield, which let's say fifth and sixth choice midfielders. And then you had Darwin Nunez, who was signed 2 months ago for a lot of money and is very good, but has basically just been with the team for 2 months in preseason. With Roberto Firmino and Diego Jota not even in kind of on the bench. So, it was a performance that wasn't by all means it was good enough to win the game, but they didn't, because I don't know if you want to chalk that up to finishing or if you want to chalk that up to kind of, I mean, obviously when you go down to 10 men for a really stupid reason like headbutting your opponent, maybe you don't deserve to win a game. But yeah, it's just kind of an interesting start to the season with basically an entire starting 11 injured.
What does it feel like to have a fifth and sixth choice midfielder?
You guys don't even have a first choice midfielder. So I don't know.
I was gonna say it's like, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Milner and Elliott come in and they're still guys who can just do a job. Whereas, like, you know, juxtaposing these two teams for the game that's coming up next Monday is like, you've seen Liverpool constantly, you know, like they lose somebody like Sadio Mane, who's like a world class attacking player, and they've already got a replacement waiting in the wings, Luis Diaz, who had a really good game and scored the goal yesterday. Yeah. And Darwin Nunez, you know, is not necessarily, obviously the headbutt was its own thing, but, you know, he looks okay. And if Jota was healthy, I would expect Nunez would have the same sort of like being acclimated to the team process that Diaz had and that, you know, Jota had before him. It's just, I guess what I'm getting at is this is why, you know, United's poor start to the season is much more alarming than Liverpool's.
Yeah, and I mean, we have 2 points and you have no points.
Maths are mapping.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have seen, I've been a Liverpool fan for basically 2 decades. So I've seen versions of this team lose games like that all of the time. Like, I mean, I was talking about Brendan Rodgers a few minutes ago. He lost 6-1 to Stoke. And, you know, maybe Fulham is just Stoke. I don't know. Anyways, but yeah, I think like it's not an ideal situation right now, but it's far better than the situation you guys are dealing with. But I think we're just trying to accomplish different things right now. I mean, we're trying to win a league and you guys are trying to find a new identity. I'm trying to be really nice. I'm trying not to like... I don't necessarily care to do the banter or anything, but yeah, I mean, like we've seen in previous seasons where dropping 4 points from 2 games can be the difference to winning the league or not. I mean, last season, which was also just like basically 2 months ago, which I think is a really important way to contextualize Liverpool's performances. We took Manchester City to the final 9 minutes of the season and didn't win the league, and basically matched them. They dropped points in 9 matches throughout the season, and Liverpool dropped points in 10 matches, and 1 point was the difference. So,
I think one of the questions I want to have is like, obviously you've watched the 2 Liverpool performances so far this season, and injuries are going to affect your opinion of how confident you are going into the United game. Even though I would still be confident based on how we've performed. Do you think that it's a better thing that you might be... Obviously, Firmino was rested for a precaution. I think it was listed as on Monday night. Do you think it's better for you that you're going into the United match of being like, okay, there are a couple of injuries, but we're going for the old fateful Diaz... old fateful Diaz in the sort of Mane role, Firmino, Salah in the front three, and hopefully that'll work out better than we're trying to still figure out how we fit and work around Nunez.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think like Klopp being able to in a way not have an excuse to not use his like tried and trusted setup, because it's not necessarily only just the front three. You know, like you have Diaz, which Colin's already alluded to, is effectively a like for like replacement for Mane. More or less, at least if you look at Mane's Liverpool career, he's played on the left. I have to say, looked at his career, because it's past tense, and I'm still not used to that. But yeah, I think like whenever Firmino plays in that false nine, which he's kind of like reinvented that position over the last half decade or so at Liverpool, it's not just the way the front three plays, but it's also the way the midfield and the fullbacks play. And Jurgen Klopp's trying to take the team into this new direction, which we saw a little bit against Crystal Palace. And then, you know, like as you also saw it really prominently in the second half against Manchester City in the Community Shield, which is this kind of like, It's not necessarily more direct, but there is a lot more crossing involved, because I mean, Darwin Nunez is like 6'3". He's huge. He can jump really high. and that's just kind of the striker he is. But I think Jurgen Klopp being able to kind of revert back to a style and a setup that he's really comfortable with will bode well for taking on whatever Manchester United is in this kind of setup.
Yeah, I think we were talking before you hopped on with Polly about, you know, things that went wrong with Brentford and whether or not Erik ten Hag is going to kind of make adjustments, whether in defense or in midfield, and, you know, what adjustments he even can make at this point. And the one thing I know for certain is that if Manchester United give the ball away as much as they have and in as dangerous locations as they have, whether they're in form or not, Liverpool or the team that has, you know, individual players who can just take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, and Roberto Firmino he kind of created this position of, like, pressing forward, although, like, every forward should be pressing. I know that's a problem you guys are experiencing with number seven, but yeah, I think, like, it just, I think it's kind of a little bit of a blessing in disguise, which is, I'm going a really long way around answering Casey's question eventually, but I think with the players that will be available, it does sort of, like, really, I would be really worried if I was a Manchester United fan, because it can kind of just be a classic Liverpool setup, and this current team doesn't have to worry about trying to be the next edition. And yeah, I think, like, when I look at Manchester United facing up against a Liverpool side, even how injured they are, this Liverpool side currently is, yeah, I guess I am pretty confident, although I was very confident against Fulham. I was very confident against Crystal Palace. I was very confident against Real Madrid. But this Liverpool side's now gone six straight Premier League games, Premier League matches. I think it's eight total where they've gone behind in the match. They've conceded the first goal in the match. So there are definitely things to worry about. I'm not as confident about this match as I was the two Manchester United matches last season.
I think one of the things that I kind of is going to be very annoying to me, I think, on Monday is going to be, like, obviously your midfielders aren't as good as what they used to be. Like, obviously, like, Harvey Elliott, I think, is a fantastic player. I think obviously he's going to quite quickly move up your ranks in terms of where he's standing. You mentioned him as sixth choice. I don't think he'll stay around that as for long. I think that probably is down to that unfortunate injury in last season. But Milner is quite obviously a shadow of the former midfielder he was.
Yeah.
Henderson is probably going that way, as you've seen in the couple of games. His lack of pace and lack of stamina has got the better of him. The problem is a lot of pundits have pointed out, United don't have that intensity in the midfield. So you could play a player like Henderson, you could play a player like Milner, or you could play a player like Harvey Elliott, who's just kind of acclimatized into that midfield. And they don't really need to do much more than what they've been doing to kind of walk through us. And I think that's kind of be, like, one of the things that definitely annoys me. Is, like, you're going to be like, oh yeah, it's Fabinho, Milner, Henderson. That's a very, very functional midfield that basically every other team would overrun. And here's McTominay just stumbling about, trying to figure out where he is. But I think that's kind of like, as you said, that kind of plays into your hands of, you can play, you don't need to have your Thiago, who kind of is like, I'm going to break past this line with this pass, and I'm going to have Harvey Elliott, who kind of is that dribbling midfielder. You can just go, here's a really functional midfield. They're not that good anymore, but they can still outrun your midfield and get it to the guys in front who know what they're doing, because that's what they've been doing for years.
Yeah, I think depending on a couple of things, basically the next 6 days, in terms of what's going on in the Liverpool camp, the who starts in the midfield is going to tell you everything about what Jurgen Klopp expects from the match. I don't think he'll start Fabinho, Henderson, and Milner together ever again. I could be wrong. I'm wrong all the time. So, but if he does, I think that shows a lot more respect towards Manchester United than he probably deserves. But he's done that his entire managerial career with Liverpool against Manchester United. He's kind of respected the occasion more than what's actually in front of him. And who am I to say like what he should and shouldn't do? Because obviously last season it was an aggregate of like 9-0. So yeah. Naby Keita should be fit. He was just sick. That's why he hadn't played in the last two games. Non-COVID sick, some sort of illness has kind of kept him out. Maybe that's affecting his illness. I would be shocked if Naby Keita doesn't start on that left of the three, the middle three, just because of issues your midfield presents yourselves. That kind of Keita's a really kind of the way he presses is really interesting and special, and we don't have a midfielder that does anything like that, and that could cause all sorts of problems. So I would expect him to play on that left side, and then probably I would expect at least 45 to 60 minutes of Henderson on that kind of right side, and then Fabinho at the base of the midfield. But if he does something like he plays Keita on the left and Harvey Elliott on the right, that's basically these two really aggressive eights, then that, I think, tells you a lot as well. Kind of on the flip side of that Henderson-Milner possibility.
Something sort of on the United side, Anthony Martial returned to training yesterday. I was wondering, his availability have any impact, do you think, on this match as opposed to if Cristiano Ronaldo was starting? Is just because of, you know, him possibly having a better chemistry with the rest of the attack, or is it still just kind of a midfield situation that leaves you a lot less worried about the forwards in general?
I mean, I think Martial is more of a worry than Ronaldo. Unless I'm Curtis Jones, and then I'm really worried about Ronaldo because he tried to kick him in the chest or whatever last season.
That was his audition for Diego Simeone.
Yeah, it didn't work apparently. And losing to Liverpool is also a really good audition to Diego Simeone because he loses to Liverpool all the time. But except that one time. I always forget about the one time right before
COVID. I was about to unmute my mic.
Yeah, and just like, yeah.
Yano Black has something to say. It's
the last soccer game before the world ended.
Yeah, I was, I mean, I obviously blacked that out. Cause why wouldn't I? Anyways, Martial is capable of doing really similar things that Wilf Zaha did on Monday night against Liverpool. So I suppose that's a little bit of a concern. As just kind of like an outlet. But I suspect Joe Gomez will start at kind of that right center back with Virgil van Dijk on the left center back, and his recovery pace is so much better than Nat Phillips. Although if you kind of look at Crystal Palace, the goal that Crystal Palace scored, Fabinho just sort of lets Crystal Palace's midfielder, number 10, he just doesn't tackle him. He could have taken a yellow card really easily there, but he just expected, I don't know, something else to happen. And that's kind of where the play broke down. But I guess my question is your manager really going to want to change his entire setup to play a counter-attacking style against Liverpool when he doesn't really have anything to lose right now, does he?
I think the thing is that the big question on Martial, I think, it kind of changes it in the way that we'll probably end up working. Obviously, I spoke a lot in the past about Ronaldo. I feel like, especially against Liverpool, that Ronaldo would probably be a bad choice. Because obviously his tendency to kind of drift out of the box into the left channel and slow down play, where that is probably your main weak point when you've pushed very far forward, is something that we should probably avoid doing. Because obviously Ronaldo comes in, he sorts out the play, Trent can get back, so on and so forth.
Exactly.
But you have Martial, you have a bit more of an outlet to play through. You'd hopefully would hope that if he plays Maguire and Martinez, that you can do the crossfield balls. You'd hope that maybe Dallow would decide that he actually knows how to overlap again. So I feel like the thing is I don't think he has to change a lot to formulate a counter-attacking style of football. Obviously, he likes possession, but he kind of likes meaningful possession is probably the way of putting it forward. He wants to try and get out of the back. The issue is if we hit him, we need to basically end up in a situation where we don't hit your three in midfield, because as you said, he usually respects us in the midfield especially. And if you basically lose it in midfield, we're then back in transition, we're back in the problems, and you then send three or four people up, and that's the problem, that then we're less at the back. But I feel like that's the thing. I don't think he's compromising too much. I feel like he's just basically going, okay, we're going to have less possession, so just do more with it when you have it.
Yeah, I think like that. I would be a little bit more worried if Martial is playing, just because how teams have got at us, not just like the tactical setups do not change just because a season changes, right? It does in your guys' case, because you have a new manager, you have a couple of new players, you have players that have been in the squad for a while that are more favored than other players. But the way to hurt Liverpool has not changed, and it especially hasn't changed since, say, April, which was not very long ago in the grand scheme of things. So, I would say Martial, or I guess even if he does play Ronaldo, like just having somebody to hit that channel would worry me.
I feel like one of the things I want to kind of see if we cannot like find a way to actually get Sancho to isolate or Robertson or someone on the wing, I kind of wouldn't mind if we saw something similar to how Ziyech played when he was at, I think, I can't remember the exact Champions League game, but it's also very similar how Messi, I'm not comparing the two players, but I'm comparing the scenario. Messi played under Ernesto Valverde. So he was deployed out on the right, and he got the ball out on the right, and he literally looked across the field, and he went, where are the gaps? Where are the runners? Ping it across and kind of run onto it. Very similar to that, very, very well clipped Ziyech pass, where he's like, I see a runner, ping. So I think that's something that I would kind of think would work against you. Obviously, that might play a bit better to Ronaldo, because obviously he's going to be running forward wherever he runs. It's just basically when it starts to cramp up, it's a problem. Probably play to Rashford's strengths. It'll probably play to Martial's strengths. It might play to Fernandes' strengths. I don't know what Fernandes currently wants to do. So that is something I want to see. But obviously, I'm going to throw out to Nathan and Colin. Like, I'm not the host. I'm just like, where do you... Do you think there's any like particular player that can kind of like stop? Because the thing is Liverpool's a massive unit, not in the actual sense of hench and all that stuff, but like we need to find the chink in the armor. We need to like break through it. Do you think there's one like specific player or battle where that we can work through it all?
I mean, it's hard to say just because I haven't seen it happen against Liverpool in so long. I mean, the last time that, I guess it would be January 2021 when it was that FA Cup tie. And I don't really see Liverpool offering those kind of spaces anymore. I mean, Nat Phillips didn't have a good game, but obviously he's a different, you know, he's more experienced in this Liverpool side now. And I don't think there's going to be as much space for Rashford to exploit, particularly, who was pretty good in that game. If we are able to overload that left side, Rashford is going to have to be important. But again, this is a player who's been down on confidence and form for a really long time now. It's just kind of hard to see.
I would be really surprised if Joe Gomez doesn't start this game. He apparently wasn't 90 minutes fit on Monday night. And Jurgen Klopp's very conservative with injuries, especially early in the season. So I would have suspected that if, like, you know, it was flipped and Liverpool played Manchester United this last Monday when they played Crystal Palace, Joe Gomez would have started and he just wouldn't have played the whole game. And I think he's the best when he's at his best, which has been almost 2 years at this point. He's one of the best recovery center backs in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And oddly enough, I think the way he covers and the way Trent plays, I think complements each other the best. And I think they have the best understanding between any center back combination that Liverpool can put out there in terms of the things that Trent does well defensively and the things that Joe Gomez does well defensively, I think pair so well compared to kind of any other combination you could make with a right-sided center back and a right back in this Liverpool side, if that makes any sense at all.
Question for Casey and Colin, because we talked about it in the first hour, kind of how much does Eric stick to his guns? How much do we start leaning into more pragmatism? The most competitive that United has been in recent years against Liverpool, we saw, you know, bunker in, hit him on the counter, try and play a stronger defensive shape. What are your guys' initial thoughts on what the 11 looks like? Is it McFred rides again? Is there an opportunity maybe in this particular game that we see Aaron Wan-Bissaka because we want to shut down whatever's happening on the left wing for Liverpool? You know, what are your guys' thoughts? Just initially, we haven't gotten any injury reports. Of course, we're recording on Tuesday, August 16th, so some things could change, especially once we find out maybe who might have injured themselves during the Sunday run that Ten Hag made the guys go on.
I would expect the same back four. Not just because it seems like Wan-Bissaka's on his way out. There's rumors recently that they're looking for another right back. And he just doesn't really fit what Ten Hag wants in fullbacks anyway. But also, when you're a new manager, it just kind of seems like you want to put a back four together that learns how to play with each other and that you can kind of trust and build off of that for the rest of the season. Now, he did make those substitutions against Brentford, and, you know, we talked about maybe throwing some of the players under the bus a little bit, but maybe if there was going to be a change, I might see Malacia come in for Shaw. Just because, you know, that's one of the players Ten Hag brought in. It seems like he likes what he offers, especially in preseason. He was used a lot and he looked pretty comfortable. So I think if one of the fullbacks was going to change, it would probably be Malacia.
I think also the thing is like, if you look at what Liverpool's options are going to be for that game, if it's Diaz, Firmino, Salah, that's a lot of them on the floor. The game, like, the thing is if you have Nunes, it's a much more aerial presence, as we've already discussed. Firmino likes the ball at his feet. Diaz quite likes the ball at his feet. Same with Salah. Like, if you put someone like Martinez in there, that's kind of basically putting the ball in his domain, so to speak. As his ground duels so far have basically been flawless. So you're kind of in that sort of scenario where I think those four is the sort of four that you go with. Shaw, at the moment, I think is just kind of, he's in this weird point of, I don't think he can do anything. He's not really that fit at the moment. I don't think he can do what he's good at going forward because it's not really the sort of game we've been asking of him so much. Kind of Dallow's been going forward a lot more when we've been trying to do it. And I just feel like it's kind of like if you play Malacia, he's probably just a bit more energetic and kind of helps. And I think, I don't know, it's a weird one because you're against Salah. So no matter, I feel like no matter who you're throwing in there, you're basically throwing it saying, all right, here's the toughest test you're going to probably have in the next 6 months. So enjoy that game. So, yeah. And then going further forward, as we've probably discussed, I think the midfield, I don't know. I feel like you kind of have to kind of stick with your guns of Eriksen at the six. If you basically, I think this, he's not as physical as Scott McTominay, but the security he has on the ball, as long as you don't provide him with stupid passes under pressure, like I feel like it's just kind of saying, if you give it to Scott McTominay, he's going to get overrun when he tries to get past someone. If you give it to Eriksen, there's a 50-50 chance he gets overrun, but at least you know that he can get the ball out of his feet a lot quicker. And then I've been looking. Rabiot is apparently looking unlikely. Lovely. We're good. So someone of Scott McTominay or Fred's going to have to play, and they're probably not going to play that well. And then Rashford, Fernandez, Sancho. And then I'll leave whoever you think is going to go up top.
I mean, there's enough rumors about players being sold. There's tweets now that the club might be sold to some investment group. I'm not sure what all the sources are on that. So take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. Which well, is going to be fun.
Before Monday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting needing players at that point if the club actually is sold, which I don't expect to happen. But, I mean, how's that going to complicate trying to buy players?
And as a, I mean, if you get the guy who bought Chelsea, it doesn't seem like it's that complicated. You just throw money at everybody. But I guess they're also playing in the Champions League. So.
Yeah, we've tried that strategy before, Mark.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Chelsea just front money. So, like, it's
Steve
kind of
Ballmer, you up?
I don't think you want him to own your team, do you? Is he really that much better?
Well, he brought Jerry West in. I don't know if Jerry West would take the Man United job, but he did okay at the Warriors.
I don't know a whole lot about basketball. I just, as a former Seattle resident, I don't have the fondest opinions of Mr. Ballmer.
I think the more important question, Colin, is are we getting winning time Jerry West or are we getting real life Jerry West?
Winning time Jerry West, who very angrily states that he's never been angry in his life.
Yeah. Would that be like end of playing career Roy Keane or Roy Keane right now if we were to have like a winning time version of Jerry West?
See, we still haven't fully casted that TV show yet. We started talking about it, but
no, we need to do that when Carl comes back.
I would think maybe to tie a bow on kind of what our predictions are, at least for United. You know, my heart wants Martial to be able to play. I mean, if he's just coming back, I gotta think he's probably a substitution. He's not starting. Because I can't imagine he's in the same shape that maybe Joe Gomez would be had we played this last week, where he could, you know, play the first 60. But I'd love for him to repeat his debut. That would be nice, but you know, we're not going to hold our breath for that one. I don't think
Dejan Lovren's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
Dejan Lovren, self-proclaimed best centre back in the world.
I mean, he was fine. I'm glad. I honestly haven't thought about him in like a year, and I just said his name. So that's about Dejan Lovren's Liverpool legacy.
I mean, to be fair, we don't know if even like currently Cristiano Ronaldo's trending on Twitter because he's basically said he's going to do a tell-all interview in a couple of weeks, exposing the media that have lied about him, and he has so many clubs that are wanting him right now.
Is it curious that the tell-all is coming probably exactly right after the
September 2nd?
Yeah. It's so yeah, you might not have to face him next week. You might have to. We'll see what happens.
I'm more worried about kind of the vibes, which is just a weird thing like to be worried about.
This is a vibes podcast. You're in the right place to talk about this.
It's just the vibes are weird with Liverpool right now, and I can't really put my finger on it. I think we'll be fine. Like, we are always fine. We will get more than 90 points in a season. Is that going to be good enough to win the league? I don't know. It should be, but there's some other team over there doing some stuff that that happens. It just kind of like feels like Klopp gets like really cranky sometimes, and that just kind of brings the vibes down. And he's been pretty cranky lately. So hopefully, beating Manchester United by a few goals at least will put him in a good mood.
Yeah, I mean, do we take a draw as a win at this point? Like, if maybe not, like,
I mean, that point would be all the difference in our relegation scrap. So
there we go.
I think if we
take a win as a win, I'm going to be above Liverpool.
I think if Liverpool draw this game, it will feel very bad. It will feel very, very bad.
Yeah. It's just
from my perspective.
Can we galaxy brain ourselves into feeling good about this match because all the pressure's on Liverpool now?
All the pressure's always been on Liverpool.
Yeah.
Like the last 10 times we've played. Like the draw in 2019 or whatever it was with the
1-1.
Yeah, that was like the point that we didn't win the league by. It's just how it's always been. Who and was that like Solskjaer's like first match? It was his first Liverpool match.
It was his second. His first Liverpool match was the one where four players got injured in the first half.
Yeah, well, Battle of Old Trafford.
Yeah. Great. I mean, it's all like the pressure has been on Liverpool for 5 years at least in these matches. So
the problem is just Liverpool know how to handle pressure.
Typically, yeah.
No.
Although I would say, if you're looking for, like, if I'm going to offer you a silver lining, following the red card, which was just stupid. I don't think we really need to talk about it unless you guys really want to. You shouldn't headbutt people. the one thing that I was like, that's weird, and that led me to think the vibes were off, is Virgil van Dijk is like the calmest person in the world. It's in his song, Calm As You Like. There was like an offside or something that allowed Liverpool to restart the ball with the ball near the halfway line in the second half against Palace. And he went to take the free kick, and the referee blew the whistle because he was handing out a yellow card or something to a Crystal Palace player. And, like, Virgil just lost his mind. I've never seen him get angry like that. And that was, like, maybe the most concerning thing I've seen since Jordan Pickford, like, ruined his ACL. So, I don't know if there's something there or if I'm reading, way too much into that. But I guess that's where we're at the point with how good Liverpool is. We have to look at stuff like that to see if Manchester United could beat Liverpool. So I don't know, man.
Eric, if you're listening, before you put Martial on in the 60th minute, tell him, look at Virgil van Dijk and say, have a go at him. He's rattled.
Yeah, I don't know if he's rattled, but he was very upset, and I've never seen him upset like that. So that's the tiniest sliver I could offer you. I'm sorry, Nathan.
One thing I've noticed about Liverpool players is, like, I mean, as probably all of us here, except for Nathan, are very present on social media, I'm assuming, is something I've noticed about Liverpool players is they know what people are saying about them. Like, obviously, Nunes was very vocal in pre-season with the shushing gif when everyone was kind of just calling the flop. Then everyone in the Liverpool team was like, oh yeah, it's a bit harsh on him and all that sort of thing. I was like, he seems to be very vocal. And Van Dijk recently, obviously since the Mitrovic incident and all that, and like the last couple of games, has been kind of just been like rinsed. It's like he's been up here, he's been untouchable. Like, and you kind of think in some sort of senses, do you think that as soon as you slightly feel like you're vulnerable, the comments that people are saying that you're vulnerable start to seem a little bit more. Because obviously Klopp kind of, I feel like Klopp also knows what people are saying about him as well. Like, he kind of hints at stuff when he's doing his interviews. He kind of plays up to the sort of, oh, I complain about the random stuff. So I don't know. Like, do you think that in some sort of senses that maybe it's just the sort of thing of, we now actually seem slightly vulnerable. I'm very annoyed about that.
Could be, yeah. I think that's totally a possibility. And I think, I think that definitely played into why Darwin got the red card. I think he was just like, he really wanted to prove a point, and he wanted, I don't know. And he just like got wound up and headbutted somebody. And Van Dijk has been like more present on social media, which is just a kind of a weird thing. Trent is the same way. If like Van Dijk was in this like weird music video like 2 days before the start of the season. Yeah, so I think that's totally a possibility. And maybe this is the beginning of the end of Liverpool's era. I don't know. I think it totally could happen. I don't think that's what's happening, because it would just be so strange to see this team be so mentally strong and like under much more pressure previously. But maybe they're worn out and this is what's happening to them.
I will say, whether it would spell the end of Liverpool's era of greatness or not, if United do get something from the match on Monday, United Twitter is going to act like they caused the end of Liverpool's dominance.
I mean, Arsenal's already doing that. And I try really hard to avoid like what opposing fans are saying about Liverpool, because I don't think it really matters. So, and I'm just a guy, right? I'm just some guy. I would really, really hope that kind of stuff doesn't bother people like Virgil van Dijk, who is currently the best person in the world at his job. But hey, maybe it could. Like, maybe the fine margins that Liverpool have failed by recently screw everybody up in the head, and that's it. Or maybe it's a thing that galvanizes the team and causes sort of that classic siege mentality that every good team in the world ever at any sport has had. And we're talking next time and Liverpool have won 26 out of their next 27 matches, which has happened before.
Well,
if I were to really stick my neck out, you know, I don't think Manchester United is going to be the undoing of this Liverpool team. If the vibes are weird enough, as Mark's alluded to, that the apple cart could be upset, I think the more likely candidate is probably the World Cup, which, you know, has the opportunity to upset a lot of apple carts, just with whichever teams have the most players that are going to go play in that tournament.
Maybe. Yeah. I think like the world, I think the World Cup is going to be like a vibes reset for Liverpool, and they're sort of just white knuckling it on the way to that break, because Mo Salah is not going to the World Cup. Sadio Mane is. I think that was a huge factor in allowing him to leave. And I don't care who says what. I don't care anything. Like, it was definitely Liverpool allowed Sadio Mane to leave to Bayern Munich. Like, that shouldn't be a controversial thing to say, but apparently it is. I think they just think they can they can do this next part of the season until November, just like they did the end of last season, and treat it all as sort of the same thing, and then get to the World Cup, and then get to the other side of the World Cup, and then it just basically be a mini season from there. So, and Jurgen Klopp in preseason more or less alluded to that, because Liverpool played every single possible game they could last season, which was a lot. I think it was I think the Champions League final was their 64th match of the season. And I think they're just trying to do that, trying to just keep that going. And then they get to the World Cup and then see where they are, basically.
Yeah, I wasn't like suggesting that when I was like, oh yeah, the social media, I wasn't like, yeah, I'm just going to burn it all down. Liverpool cracked badge. It's just going to be like on every front page.
If that actually worked, we would tweet at every single player every single minute of the day until Monday. Yeah.
But I do feel like there is some like credence to what you're saying, like in the sort of sense of, obviously, I feel like the expectation and opinion of people can get you a bit more. I think, especially in Liverpool's case of, like you said, they played 64 games last season. They were in the mix for all four trophies. It's really hurting me to say this, but yeah, you were in the mix for all four trophies at the end of the season. And you took it to the very end of the season and then didn't get the Premier League because of 1 point, didn't get the Champions League because of Real Madrid at the end of the game going, haha, you gave up for 10 seconds. Here's two goals. Enjoy that one. Sort of scenario. I'm thinking of the City game. I have completely forgot what
I was saying.
Yeah, basically, but yeah, it was the sort of Real Madrid the whole time we're going, we don't need to try for 80 minutes. We get into the next round, so on and so forth. And then they play Liverpool and they're like, oh yeah, we've won it. So I feel like when you've got that sort of margin, basically, and everything starts to get taken away from you, with like the tiniest mistake and the tiniest like 5 minutes of a game or whatever, the things that shouldn't really matter too much, like say Mitrovic scoring a goal first, shouldn't rattle you. But when you're like, this goal could ruin our entire campaign 37 games down the line, you're like, oh my god, we need to now do all this sort of stuff. And I feel like that's the sort of mental capacity that we're now in the Premier League. Like, the thing is, like I said, you win a Premier League season over 38 games, you lose it in one. And that's where the Premier League is at the moment. Like, it's that sort of, like, standard where it's like, yeah, you have to be good for 38 games. If you're bad in one, that's it. Like, and I feel like maybe the World Cup will throw that into thing. Maybe if by the World Cup, everyone's like, right, calm down. City are only however many points clear. We can just calm down. We're a little bit behind them. We're not in a position now where we're expected to win. Just play your game and we'll see what happens. Then everyone can go, sweet, we'll just like be calm. But while it's still in that scenario now of, we need to try and claw this back because if they lose a game, we need to be there to win the game. I feel like it's kind of, it sends everyone a bit. It's like the thing, like everyone's like that. It's like the one game more scenario when you're playing video games. It's like the, I'm on a losing streak. If I've got to win this game, otherwise, what was the point of me spending the last however many hours playing this video game if I don't win a game in like tonight? It's that sort of thing. I feel like that everyone kind of has it on little scales, and obviously, when you expand it out into professional football, it can just mess up some people.
Yeah, I think it definitely matters. I think like, and City were 14 points ahead of Liverpool last season, and Liverpool could have won the title going into the 82nd minute of the 38th match. So it's like they did the hardest thing imaginable, which was catch this City side, and it just didn't go their way. And I think I think there might be some credence to kind of it creeping in their heads a little bit. I don't know how much it matters. I'm not a psychologist, and I'm certainly not a professional athlete. Like, people say, oh, City have won four of the last five Premier Leagues. And they just say that. That is a fact. Like, Manchester City have won four of the last five Premier Leagues. Nobody can argue that. But if you look at the points totals over those seasons, like, if you tally up the points from the last four seasons, Liverpool and Manchester City are identical on points. So it's just sort of like, yeah, that probably bothers them a little bit, I would imagine. Like, you are that good. Like, and we're talking about, like, insane point totals. We're not talking about, like, the early 2000s or the 90s or anything where 79 points wins the league. These are like high 90s. These are 99 point seasons, 97 point seasons, 98 point seasons. And they're not, these players aren't getting the recognition that in any other era they would be. Like, I know it's stupid, but like, there's that Manchester United YouTuber, I think his name's like Jay Mata or something. And he tweeted the other day, like, oh, Liverpool's just Blackburn, but with better PR. And it's like, well, that's just an insane thing to say. But maybe that stuff does bother this Liverpool team. I don't know. Kind of bothers me a little bit, and I'm just a guy.
It's like the late 90s Utah Jazz coming up against the Chicago Bulls. It's like, yeah, we have one of the best assisters of all time. We have one of the best scorers of all time. And they have Michael Jordan, sweet, right? We just lost two finals back to back and just like, oh, yeah, great. Yeah,
or like the Sonics were the same way. In the mid 90s. I mean, this type of thing definitely bothers Kevin Durant, and he's really, really good at basketball.
Yeah, I was going to say, as resident Cavs fan, this is like, you know, LeBron's Cavs part two versus the Golden State Warriors. It's just like super team that, you know, you can go and you, in the league standings, you're there and, you know, you're going to be there playing for it every season, but it's just those fine margins in the last seven games of the season that separate it or whatever.
I don't think that this is true. I just think it's possible. I do think, like, we'll look back at this kind of 2-week period as just a really silly thing. And I don't know what's going to happen over the course of this Premier League season. I would really like to think that City has set themselves up to leave themselves short, especially if Bernardo Silva leaves, because they only have like 17 senior players on their roster. Typically good things happen to Liverpool after they lose a Champions League final. So I don't know. And I think we'll be pretty good. We won two cups last season. But yeah, I think like it's definitely possible that it's always possible that this is the beginning of the end, right? It was possible that 2020 and 2021 were the beginning of the end, but it wasn't. So I guess it's just a fun thing to talk about until it's true.
Unless your club is already at the end and it can only keep getting worse.
You guys can get a lot worse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you if you look at where Liverpool were a decade ago, it was a lot worse than where United is right now. So don't think that it can't get worse. Like, Liverpool were like a midnight court ruling away from being an administration. So it can get a lot worse for you.
Well, I think if there's any podcast that's best equipped to pump the brakes on some of that stuff, like the insanity of what kind of circulates the club, it, you know, not to toot our own horns, but myself, Paulie, and Colin, we only root for bad sports teams in America. So it's like we kind of see United like fat on their riches right now, and they're not playing well, and it's been really dormant for a long time. But it's like, guys, this is not rock bottom. We're not even close to rock bottom.
But Nathan, are we still gonna have a podcast if we go through like 20 Cleveland Browns years?
No chance. Absolutely not. If Manchester United really goes like full Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, I made
Jacksonville
the joke.
Ever good though?
Yeah, when they first started, they were
David Gerrard.
No, that was before Gerrard. Two AFC championships in the late 90s. The problem is they ran up against John Elway's Broncos. So
okay, I didn't know. I don't really know anything about the NFL.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so they're the team that's forgotten about because John Elway went on to win the two Super Bowls back to back years. It's one of those things where, right, we're not close to rock bottom, guys. But I mean, there's some smoke. We should address the fire. There's smoke.
Some smoke.
Yeah,
this fire has been going for a while, Nathan.
Yeah, I mean the Glazers right now are, you know, playing their fiddle. As we like to make the Nero reference, but we are a buyout away from potentially this thing being turnaround, you know? if they finally were like, you know what?
From getting worse.
Exactly. So that's.
I'll put that one into the world.
You know, maybe Mike Ashley's like, maybe I'll get back into this soccer thing. I like it. I saw Casey's face just like a drain of color as I said that.
It was a mixture of Mike Ashley, but also the fact that this is the first time, despite speaking to you for a while, you've said the word soccer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Have I mentioned that the club that I actually work for were SC, were not FC?
I was going to say, Casey, you're on a call with three Americans right now, so.
Yeah, what do you want to say bad? What do you want to say bad about America right now? Because we'll probably agree with you.
Serginho Dest is not a good player.
I think most Americans would probably agree with you. I don't know. I don't really follow the national team.
I mean, he hasn't even gotten his spot back for the national team, really, for the last year or so. I mean, from what I've seen, but I will say this podcast is going to be almost 2 hours long, so
could do two episodes.
We could do two episodes. I've done that before. But
well, if you think about it, this has kind of been like to really take it home, Colin. It's been maybe not an Avengers podcast, but it's definitely Captain America: Civil War. We've had a bunch of different people in here, a bunch of different topics. Maybe it didn't all work together, but it's been fun.
That's good. And it's good that we're going to end it on a movie reference, too. Is that like the fourth or fifth one of this podcast?
We've already talked about the men's national team, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on. I know it's been a long one, but looking forward somewhat to the MASH next Monday. I guess we'll just see how it goes.
It's the day after my birthday.
I hope everyone has a good time.
Happy birthday, Mark. Everyone wish Mark a happy birthday on Sunday.
Happy birthday.
And then tell him to go to hell on Monday.